Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... The Golden Knights have a 2-0 series lead and head back to Vegas for an opportunity to continue to push Dallas to the brink. It was a phenomenal game number two from the Vegas Golden Knights, specifically in their ability to defend and defend at an elite high level. There were a couple of things that stood out to me. I want to get Chris Chapman's opinions on what stood out to him, and I want to know what stood out to you. Very specifically, I was looking at their defensive sticks. It was a masterclass by the Golden Knights in the third period on how to shut down a team that was desperate and a team that knew they had to go out and win the third period so as not to fall into a 2-0 hole. I've got a statistic on number one seeds, conference number one seeds, and failing to pick up a victory in the first two games. It's pretty astounding. The Golden Knights are in a really good spot in this series, and they played a brilliant 60-minute game last night in Dallas against the Stars. We're also going to get to our game ratings in just a little bit. We'll have the legal minute with Sam and Ash coming up in hour number one. And then hour number two, Darren Millard's going to join us. He'll be on right around 5 o'clock. And then we've got John Shannon at 5:15. One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. That will follow John Shannon. And then we'll catch up with Chapman. But before we get there, 702-876-1340. I'm not opening up the phone lines. Though, it wouldn't be a bad idea, Chapman, and this is just me kind of thinking out loud here. It wouldn't be a bad idea since we are in the playoffs, since we are in this pressure-packed, high-stress mode of the year. It wouldn't be a bad idea to open the phone lines more often. That's just my opinion, my thought on it. We can kind of workshop that in the background. But the text line's always open. The text line is always open. I highlighted defensive sticks, specifically in the third period. I want to know what stood out to you. Like, what impressed you most about the Golden Knights game last night? Was it their composure? Was it Logan Thompson? Was it Jack Eichel doing something pretty remarkable for a U.S.-born skater, becoming the fastest U.S.-born skater in National Hockey League history to hit 30 playoff points? There's a lot of different directions you can go. Text us your thoughts and your opinions, and we'll get to some of those here in just a little bit. But I'm going to open it up to Chris Chapman. I've talked about defensive sticks. I think that is where the Golden Knights won the game last night. What impressed you most about how this team performed yesterday, Chapman?
Well, I'm going to go with an individual, and I know that the team made it very easy for Logan Thompson, but I thought Logan Thompson was really good last night. He was good early. In that second period, Dallas had, it was Wyatt Johnston who had two really big opportunities to score, and Logan Thompson both times shut him down. Look, in the third period, he only had to make five saves, but I thought he was better last night than he was in game one. There were no cheapies. Look, Dallas is going to put a lot of shots up from the outside, and the Golden Knights have basically got to accept that. But they do a good job of blocking shots. Look, that was another area where they were phenomenal. You insert Alec Martinez back into the lineup, and he just goes out there and does his thing. But I thought Logan Thompson played a really good game. He wasn't asked to do a lot, but what he was asked of, he I think he passed the test with flying colors. Like, there's zero debate in my mind that he starts on Saturday night. And those two saves that he had on Johnston will really stick out in my mind as far as the big plays by Logan Thompson. But you're right, defensively, especially in that third period, final 5 minutes and 38 seconds, what amazes me is the Dallas Stars average about 3.5 points or goals a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Golden Knights have held them to 4 goals in the series, and one of them or two of them have come on the power play. So only two.
Go ahead.
As I was gonna say, only two goals by the Stars have come at 5-on-5. But the defensive job that this team did in the final 5 minutes and 38 seconds, not allowing a team that averages 3.5 goals a game in their building in a must-win situation, trailing by a goal, to not put one shot on net. You know what that tells me, Ryan? That tells me that Bruce Cassidy's system is better than Pete DeBoer's system. And that tells me that Bruce Cassidy's players are dialed in and they are fully committed to going out there and making sure that this team wins this series.
Okay, give me Dallas's average in terms of goals per game again. What is it?
It's about
generally?
Three. It's about 3.5. I think it's 3.5. Yeah, 3.58 or 3.59.
Okay, let's dig into the numbers. Okay, the Golden Knights have played 11 games against the Dallas Stars, dating back to the beginning of the Western Conference Final last year. Okay, 11 games. 11 games, Chapman. Vegas is 9-2-0 in those 11 games. So they have been absolutely remarkable in putting, you know, points on the board, wins, all of that stuff throughout the regular season, and then obviously in the postseason. This is what the goal totals are for Vegas in those 11 games. The Golden Knights have scored 39 goals in those 11 games. Okay? Not out of the ordinary. The Golden Knights average somewhere in the ballpark of 3.3 to 3.6 goals per game. That's basically what they're averaging against Dallas. The Dallas Stars have scored 20 goals. 20 goals in 11 games. The last 11 games against the Vegas Golden Knights. Just about 1.95 goals per game. That's what the Dallas Stars are getting. So almost a goal and a half less per game against Vegas. The Golden Knights defensively have the Dallas Stars figured out. They do. And it's not to say that Dallas can't find something in Vegas. It's not to say that the Stars can't still make this a series. It's far from over. I know it feels like it's over. I know Golden Knights fans are probably going to sit here and say, okay, this is inevitable. And it feels that way in a way. But the fact of the matter is, Vegas now, with a large sample size of the most intense hockey you can play, they have figured out the Dallas Stars.
What were those?
They have shut down the offense of Dallas.
What was it? 20, how many goals in 11 games?
20 goals. 20 goals in 11 games.
So 20 goals in 11 games, and seven of them came in game 4 and 5. Seven of those 20 goals that they've scored came in games 4 and 5 last year against Golden Knights. Game 4, Golden Knights lost that one in overtime 3-2, and game 5 was back here at T-Mobile Arena, and they lost 4-2 to Dallas before going back to the American Airlines Arena and getting smashed 6-0.
So, you know, again, I look at it, and you know, I kind of posted something about it yesterday, and it's a thread that I've been entertaining throughout the majority of this series. As much as the Golden Knights have been able to find success scoring goals against Jake Oettinger, as much as the Golden Knights have been able to put the puck in the back of the net against Dallas, the Golden Knights, if they win this series, are going to do so because their defense has figured out how to shut down a really good, high-powered offense in the Dallas Stars. And it's kind of a twofold thing, right? The Golden Knights can take away the rush game. Really, to me, better than any team in the National Hockey League. When the Golden Knights are committed to forechecking well, when they are connected as a five-man unit, and when they are not forcing plays in the neutral zone, I think this is one of those teams that can shut that down, and the opposition doesn't really get much. There weren't a ton of odd man rushes for the Dallas Stars in the game last night. And then when that part of the game is taken away from Dallas, then Vegas is content. I'm not saying that they're going to concede possession all the time, but they are content to give up the looks that Dallas is getting along the outside. They are doing an excellent job, the Golden Knights are, of collapsing in and around Logan Thompson. They are not allowing anything from the middle of the ice. And then they're blocking shots or getting sticks on passes and breaking things up. The fact of the matter is, the Dallas Stars had more shots in the first period yesterday than they had in the second and third period combined. This is a team that had to be desperate in the third period, and they managed just 5 shots on goal. The Golden Knights defensively are back, and that's a real problem for Dallas moving forward.
Well, it should have come as a surprise because we saw the Golden Knights last season in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Once they figured out the Edmonton Oilers in that series, it was game over. Once they figured out the Dallas Stars, it was game over. I mean, the system that they play, and every team, obviously, when they maximize what they're doing in that particular system, they're going to be really tough to beat. But I would make the case that the Golden Knights, not only do they have great players, but the system that they play really maximizes what they have. I mean, it just shows the job that Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee have done building this team, bringing in when they fired Pete DeBoer. It literally took them like 4 days to decide to hire Bruce Cassidy. And I don't think it's because Bruce was the best coach on the market. I think it's because they believed that the players that they had would excel in Bruce's system. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Bruce has been excellent. Obviously, the Golden Knights, they were really good, full value all evening long. And I highlighted defense. I'm highlighting defense for a number of different reasons. But, you know, there's an aspect of this where, you know, you said it shouldn't come as a surprise. And I agree with you in to the extent that we're talking about the defending Stanley Cup champions. It's playoff hockey. Everything matters. Everything means a little bit more. I expected that they would titrate up, right? I expected that their game would get better, that they would find another gear, but I didn't expect them to look like themselves from maybe the Western Conference final on this early in the postseason. And I would make the argument that the Golden Knights, through 2 games here in the postseason, have looked better than they did really at any stage in the regular season. Obviously, they go 11-0-1 to start the year. That was great. It was more a product of finding ways to win than it was dominating hockey. The Golden Knights, if they're not giving you anything, if they decide you're not getting to the inside, they're incredibly hard to beat, and they have been able to flip a switch and do that through 2 games.
Yeah, I was not a big believer in the switch being flipped. Mm-hmm. I thought it would take a little bit of time for them to find their game, and I was a little concerned that this isn't the team that you want to take your time to find your game against. But I think Mark Stone, here's the thing, Ryan. We talk so much about Mark Stone coming back and how valuable it is and what it means to the team that I think we kind of lost track of how important William Carrier coming back was to this team. I mean, that fourth line last night, first of all, they contributed big time on the game-winning goal. But you look at the amount of hits that Kolesar and Carrier had. I think it was 15 hits between the two of them. Kolesar led the team with 9, and I think Carrier had 6. But you just look at that unit being back together, and it makes such a difference for what the Golden Knights want to do, especially on the forecheck. Because you've got 2 ferocious wingers centered by a guy who has really high-end offensive talent in Nick Waugh. It just comes together so perfectly, but that line sets the tone every night. Mm-hmm. And Carrier had only played 8 games since Christmas. And I think we kind of lost sight of just how valuable he is to this team and what he does when he's out there and he's doing his thing. I mean, he's so noticeable. He's one of the most noticeable players on the ice. Even if he's not scoring, like, we don't need him to score. We need him to go out there and just do his job with the hits on the forecheck and really forcing the other team's top players into being uncomfortable. And that's what he does. And along with Kolasar, I mean, the growth in Kolasar's game from, I'd say, 2 years ago to today is unbelievable. What a really talented player he's turned into, what a good player he's turned into. Like, I would make the case that those two guys, you're not winning without either of them. Like, Keegan Kolasar is such a valuable part of this team. And that fourth line is really, it's the straw that stirs the drink.
Well, think about it from this perspective. The Golden Knights have finally got that fourth line back together for two games in a row, and they look like themselves, right? And it's not to say that it's all Carrier, Waugh, and Kolasar, but that's a part of it, right? Like, Bruce Cassidy has called that an identity line. They go out there, they do their job, they get pucks in deep, they get in on the forecheck, and they set the next line up in a really good spot, and that's something that had been missing throughout the majority of the season for the Golden Knights. So now that this team's getting a little bit healthier, Nick Hague, day-to-day lower body injury, we'll see if he's available. If not, the Golden Knights, a deep team, have the luxury of going to Alec Martinez, who, as you mentioned, played a heck of a hockey game yesterday for the Vegas Golden Knights. This is an incredibly deep team. Now, I do want to get to some of these texts because there's a couple of really good ones. Ryan Wilson noticed that the sticks and the blocks in front of the net were great. Another physical game, lots of finished checks. That's playoff hockey. You're going to get that all the time. Made life difficult on Dallas in the defensive zone, 100% for sure. Here's what I find interesting. He says the Golden Knights have to come up with a plan to limit chances by Jason Robertson and the rookie Logan Stankoven. So here's why I think it's interesting. Jason Robertson, to me, hasn't been hyper noticeable. The only player truly that has been noticeable to me wearing a Dallas Stars uniform has been Stankoven. I think he has been their best player. I think he has been their most noticeable player, and that's a problem. That's a problem when a rookie who has a handful of NHL games in experience is the guy that is driving the bus for you right now. I have not noticed Joe Pavelski. I have not noticed Matt Duchene. I have not really noticed Roope Hintz very much in this series. And to me, that's more of a cause for concern for Dallas when your best player through these first two games is a guy that had never played in a playoff game before in Logan Stankoven.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I was thinking about it last night after the game, and I'm like, I know Dave Gosher had talked about Pavelski and the numbers that he had put up in his career in the playoffs and who he was equal to in terms of amount of games played. But other than talking about nostalgia with Joe Pavelski, I haven't noticed him at all. And you're right. Roope Hintz, outside of the penalty he took last night, which, let's be honest, was a bad call, not really noticeable. But it was like that last year, too. Remember, it took Jason Robertson a while to get going in that series. And then in the game, I think it was game five, it was, I can't remember his name, basically came off of the scratch report to come in, and he played a great game for the Stars in game five. But their stars, no pun intended, haven't shown. Like, they have not shined in this series so far. And it's not to say that they can't or they won't. I just think Vegas's better players are better than Dallas's better players in this type of setting.
What did you think of Jack Eichel's pass to Jonathan Marchessault?
I thought it was pretty awesome, but I thought the pass that Barbashev made to Jack Eichel, noticing, first of all, the play that Barbashev made to get the puck.
Yeah, it was a great back check. Was
amazing. And then to spot Eichel and Marchessault behind the Dallas defense, the response was incredible. I heard Pete DeBoer saying that it was a mistake and that maybe they should have been able to go into the period or intermission up a goal. He's probably right. But the Golden Knights, they make you pay for your mistakes. And that's what separates them from a lot of other teams in this league. And they did it last night. I think that response, I think it kind of broke Dallas a little bit because I thought they played a really good first period. And they were probably better than the Golden Knights in that first period. But when you give up that late goal with about a minute and 20 seconds to go or whatever it was, only a minute and 22 seconds after you scored, it's devastating, and it proved to be last night. So the pass from Eichel to Marchessault was really good. Marchessault, of course, Mr. Johnny on the spot, he puts it away. But the play from Barbashev to spring that, I mean, that's why that first line is so good, and it was so valuable for them last year. And so far this year, it's been really good as well.
Yeah, and not to mention the goal for Jack Eichel with you know, the empty net situation. Jonathan Marchessault protects the puck on the ice, protecting a one-goal lead. You know, everything that we've kind of talked about throughout the regular season, the Golden Knights had trouble, right, surrendering 6-on-5 goals. They had trouble closing out games. Well, over the first two games of this series, they've had no issue whatsoever closing out a game. Jumping in on another text, Brandon Whipple says, I was at the game. They did a great job stopping or interfering with the second chances in front of Logan Thompson. Dallas thrives off of long shot, then putting in rebounds or tips. Knights were in the way all night. We have witnessed this. We have seen this, right? When it comes to Pete DeBoer, there's from an in-zone offense perspective, he wants to go low to high. He wants to try to get players to the front of the net, and he wants to get pucks there on time so that either you can get the deflection, think Joe Pavelski, or you can hunt down those second and third opportunities, think more or less in the first couple of games, Jamie Benn and Logan Stankoven. So when the pucks aren't getting there, Golden Knights are blocking the shots, or they're disrupting the passes that are trying to set up those lanes. All of a sudden, the Dallas Stars offense comes to a halt. It sputters a little bit, and I think that's what you've seen over the first couple of games here in this series. The Golden Knights have really stuck to their structure. They have made life incredibly difficult on the Dallas Stars in terms of trying to find offense, and if the Golden Knights continue to clamp down on that, it's going to be really hard for Dallas to find their offensive game. Now, I mentioned Jack Eichel, and he became last night the fastest U.S.-born player in NHL history to reach 30 career playoff points, eclipsing Brian Leetch and Kevin Stevens. They both did it in 26 games. Jack Eichel, it took him 24 games. There's so much that comes with finding a version of yourself in the playoffs, right? There's so much you learn about yourself as a player. There's so much growth to be had in those moments. And I think when you look at Jack Eichel from 2-3 seasons ago, compared to what you saw out of Jack Eichel last night, he's not the same player. He's not close to the same player. He has a different vibe around him. The confidence is growing. It emanates from him. He wins those 50-50 puck battles. He is so strong on his stick. The back checks are there. He doesn't ever quit on a puck, quit on a play, quit on anything. And I think that when you look at it from that perspective, Jack Eichel's growth has been exponential every playoff game that he has had. He is better today than he was in his first playoff game, than he was in his fifth playoff game, in his 10th playoff game, even his 22nd where he won a Stanley Cup. Jack Eichel, to me, has been just such a revelation when it comes to how much the playoffs can elevate an individual's performance.
Well, he's a big-time player, and big-time players show up in big-time games, and Jack Eichel, he got it. He excelled at the biggest moments of his career last season. And I think it's hard to describe. Like, you talk, we get to talk to him in the locker room. We get to talk to Mark Stone and everyone else in that team. And I'm sure it's the same in every other locker room, where the drive and the desire to be the best is something that these guys strive for day in, day out. But I think with Jack Eichel, it's a little bit different, because I think Jack Eichel almost lost hockey, right? When you look at the injury he went through and you look at everything that he dealt with injury-wise, like, he almost had hockey taken from him. So, and it's similar with Mark Stone. And I don't think you could put a value on how much these guys appreciate being able to go out there and perform in the Stanley Cup playoffs with an opportunity to do something that really doesn't get done very often in the NHL. I know the Tampa Bay Lightning did it recently, but before that, you'd have to go back to the Pittsburgh Penguins to find repeat winners. It's one of those things where I think when you go through what those guys have gone through, and then you look at Marchessault and his road to the NHL, and the fact that every step of the way for him, people were telling him he couldn't do it. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't going to be an NHL player. Bounced around a bit in and out of the minors. I just think it means more to these guys. I really do.
All right, let's take a break. But before we do that, let's give something away. Chapman, you said that we have a qualifier for playoff tickets. Is that right?
Well, they would qualify to win tickets. We don't know for what game, maybe three or four. Mm-hmm. But they would also get a 2-foot sub from Porta Sub. So fuel up for the playoffs with Porta Sub, slice fresh subs, salads, and wraps. Visit us today. Order ahead at portofsubs.com or download our app for freshness at your fingertips. Pick up. Oh, that's not that. You have to come to the station to pick up the certificate for Porta Subs. But if you win the tickets, yes.
No one's expecting you to deliver them a sandwich.
Hey, you know what? I think we should work on some type of promotion to make that happen. Where I deliver where I deliver a 2-foot sub to you at your office We'll have to talk to promotions about that because I want to get paid if I'm going to do that.
Of course you do.
But all right, caller. So you'd also be notified Friday if you win the tickets.
All right, caller number 972-876-1340. You've won a sub and you are qualified for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming game that we don't know when exactly that's going to be. 702-876-1340. We're back with more next on the VGK Insider Show. 2-0 series lead for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Dallas Stars. Game 3 will go on Saturday night inside T-Mobile Arena as the Vegas Golden Knights look to take an absolute stranglehold of this series and put the Dallas Stars down 3-0. Dallas, hopefully, in their mind, are trying to claw back into this series. They've been a really good road team throughout the majority of the regular season, so we'll see what ends up happening Saturday night, but it's a really good opportunity in front of the Golden Knights to really clamp down on this one, to get greedy, and to try to put this series away as quickly as they possibly can. They're in a great spot up 2-0 after winning the first two games on the road. And here's a fun stat, Chapman. Each of the last 14 teams to take a 2-0 lead against a conference's number one seeded club have gone on to win the series dating back to the 2003 semifinals between the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim and the Dallas Stars.
They were still the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yeah, it was the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. It was 2003. It was a J.S. Chagair special.
That was the year they lost to the Devils in the Stanley Cup Final.
It was the year that they lost to the Devils in the Stanley Cup Final. But that's how much importance there is on winning on the road in the first couple of games. If you're an underdog, if you are the lower-seeded team, and I'm not sitting here saying that anyone's looking at the Golden Knights as an underdog. I certainly wasn't going into this series. In fact, I was pretty adamant about liking the matchup between Vegas and Dallas. I don't love the path of having to go through the Central Division. That's really more my argument and disdain and frustration for quote-unquote divisional playoffs in which you cross over with the wild card. But the fact of the matter is, I think that the matchup is right there for the Golden Knights, and certainly through two games it is proven to be the case. But the fact of the matter is, you have to go back a long time, 2002, to the last time where a number one seed in a conference dropped the first two games at home and went on to win the series. So it's a good spot for Vegas to be in. It's not a guarantee by any stretch, but I do want to bring up, and I find this really interesting, and I want to get your opinion on it, Pete DeBoer's comments from last night's post game availability. And I know you were doing the post game show. I know you had Bruce Cassidy on and you were taking calls and probably living it up in the pool at Stadium Swim. Good on ya. But Pete DeBoer was not having a great night, obviously. And this is the quote Yeah, well, it is what it is. This is the quote that I found most interesting. Quote, they're the Stanley Cup champions. They've got everyone figured out. They figured out everyone last year too, right? So we're not alone on that boat. End quote. What are your thoughts when you hear that?
Well, it's either one of two things. It's either mind games by Pete trying to get to his team, saying, hey, we can figure these guys out. Or it's him saying, they've broken us. We cannot come back and win this series.
Okay, so the way that I view it is he's taking the pressure off, right? What Pete's trying to do in that moment is like, of course they figured out us last year. They figured us out last year. They figured out the Florida Panthers, and they figured out the Edmonton Oilers, and they figured out the Winnipeg Jets. They figured out everybody last year, right? That's what you do when you're the champion. When you're the champion, you stand above everyone else. So why am I going to sit here and say that they haven't done that when clearly they did last year? Now, it means a little bit more when you zoom out a little bit and you see that the Golden Knights are 9-2-0 in the last 11 meetings against the Dallas Stars. It does feel like, at least to me, that the Golden Knights have figured out the Dallas Stars. We talked about defensively how the Golden Knights were able to take away and how they have been able to stunt the offense of a very good offensive team. More than anything, I look at it and I say to myself, like, listen, I think the fact is the Golden Knights have figured out the Dallas Stars in a different way than Pete's trying to explain it here. I think it's rallying the troops. I really do. And that's great. Good on him for doing that. But I also don't know that that's the direction you want to go in this moment, because it's a series of adjustments. And I think for Pete, the real challenge here is to try to figure out what that adjustment's going to be. You have to make an adjustment. You have to find something different. And I think Chapman, more than anything, that's going to be the challenge for the Dallas Stars moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of challenges that they're certainly going to be facing, but that certainly is one of them.
Now, I'm just going to let you know what was wrong. That's all I'm saying. So we're going to go a little bit longer here.
Wait, what was wrong?
The math, our math.
Oh, okay. All right.
On when we need to be out. We need to be out at 41.
Okay. All right.
Like, you are dialed in right now. You are focused on getting us out and getting our breaks in and getting to Ash on time for the legal minute.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. Well, I really do.
Yes. I'm stoked to hear Ash today. Because I know she's a big Golden Knights fan, so.
She is a big Golden Knights fan, absolutely, as anyone would be in this valley. But I appreciate you being on top of it, but math is not our strong suit. That's why we talk on the radio.
Definitely
for a living.
Not.
But, yeah, like, to me, I don't know. I understand what Pete's doing, and I don't have any issue with it. I wonder if the message is not as well received as you would expect it to be in this moment, because as the head coach, right, of a team that won the Western Conference, of a team that had been one of the best teams all season long, that were right there in the mix for the President's Trophy, as a team that has been able to score a lot of goals over the course of an 82-game season, you shouldn't be figured out two games in. You shouldn't be figured out because of what happened last year. There has to be new wrinkles. There has to be adjustments that you've got in the back of your mind that can change momentum in your favor. And I think the idea, throwing it out there that, they've got us figured out, they got everybody figured out, it almost feels, in a way, defeatist. And I don't know how, if I'm a player, I don't know how I take that.
Well, I mean, we saw it here with Pete. He... For all his positives as a great hockey coach, he can be stubborn. Mm-hmm. And having a plan B sometimes is very difficult. Some of the best coaches in every sport across this planet have a difficult time accepting that their system may not work at a given time. Mm-hmm. And they are either late to change or refuse to change or don't know how to change. And so we got to see it firsthand here with Pete, and there were times where you're like, what are they doing? Why are they still playing this way? Why are they still struggling on the power play? Why are they still doing this? And you know, a lot of times it's a coach really not knowing how to adjust on the fly. And I think Pete is set in his ways, and I think he's set in his system. And I think deep down he believes his system is superior. But the eye test says it's not.
Now, a couple of other things to keep in mind as the series shifts here to Vegas. Mason Marchment, Radek Foxa, both didn't play the third period for the Dallas Stars. Pete did not provide much of an update on their availability moving forward. So, you know, you look at it from that perspective, the Golden Knights, they have found health here recently. Good for them. The Dallas Stars might have paid a bigger price in that game if they're without Faxa or without Marchment. That's going to be a big hole in their lineup. Now, that's not to take anything away from what the Golden Knights had gone through the regular season with injuries. You got to find a way. You got to play through it. Logan Stankoven, again, I have talked about him. I think he is a player. He's got a motor. It doesn't stop. He's been incredibly impressive, but the Golden Knights' ability to shut down Roope Hintz, their ability to shut down Jason Robertson. I know he's got two goals, but outside of those two goals, those two opportunities, one on the power play, one on a rush, there really hasn't been much from Robertson 5-on-5. There hasn't been much from Pavelski at all. Jamie Benn has had a moment or two, but not anything that you're going to write home about. I haven't noticed Tyler Seguin. The big-name players for the Dallas Stars have been kept in check, and the Golden Knights have done a great job of really limiting their chances. And boy, oh boy, this team, to me, has figured something out. There's some secret sauce here against the Dallas Stars. Take a break. Come back with the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash next on the VGK Insider Show.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
It's the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com as she does every week. We have Ash from Sam and Ash joining us to get into the Legal Minute. Ash, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Coming off another win.
Yeah, I'm doing well. The Golden Knights are up 2-0 in the series against the Dallas Stars. And they're coming home for games 3 and 4. That's a great position to be in. When you look at the Golden Knights going on the road as a wild card, but still the defending Stanley Cup champions, taking care of business, you have to feel pretty optimistic with where they're at right now.
I do, and I'm looking at the bracket right now, and I think the most optimistic thing is in the West, we're the only one that's up 2-0. And so if we can keep this up and do what we need to at home, the best thing is it's going to give our guys a little bit of an extra rest while the other teams are duking it out for that next round.
You know, and you bring up a really good point because the Golden Knights all throughout the season have been dealing with injuries. Now, they're as healthy as they've been all season long, but if you're able to get through a series in 4 or 5 games, it really does give you a little bit of an advantage as you go deeper and deeper in the postseason.
Absolutely. Being healthy, I mean, we always talk about it, how timing is everything and making sure your team is healthy in time for the playoffs and avoiding injuries throughout the playoffs. I think a lot of people said that was probably one of the biggest factors to our success last season. And so fingers crossed that we give our guys as much chance as possible to stay healthy.
So let's merge into one of the main topics we're going to touch on today, and it kind of falls in line with this idea of injuries. And you know, we kind of looked at Nathan MacKinnon, and he's going to be the guy, the vehicle that we use to kind of have this conversation. But, you know, last week Nathan MacKinnon was hit in the face with a puck. It drew blood. He was injured on the play and yet came back in that same game. Didn't really miss too much time, didn't miss a shift. So I guess the question that comes about in these moments is when a player is injured in the moment in a game, what steps do the teams have to legally take to ensure that proper care is administered?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that ultimately, you know, the player has the ultimate decision over their body. And two, you know, I guess the greatest example to look at is the NFL, because we've seen this and we've talked about it the most is the NFL. They've dealt with concussions and injuries. And so they have now concussion protocols. And those guidelines for player safety comes out through the collective bargaining agreements between the players' associations and the teams. And so here, each team is obligated to follow what that collective bargaining agreement lines out for player safety. And, you know, usually, you know, I think the difference here for hockey is hockey players are just an entirely different breed of athlete that we just aren't used to seeing in other sports anymore. I mean, the NBA, they're doing load management. You know, you've got Mark Stone, who's waiting 9 weeks to the tee to recover from his lacerated spleen. So, I mean, hockey players are just a little bit different, and so they just have to make sure that they're not endangering the player.
What about general public? And the reason I'm going to ask that is, as you mentioned, hockey players, they have a different pain tolerance than mere mortals. They just do. So if a player's, say, able to return, but there's something else going on in the background, if they're leaving the game, if they go home and there happens to be an accident, like, where's liability there?
Yeah, so that's going to be tricky. It'll look to whether or not the standard, if there's a standard in place and a team organization violates it and totally breaches it, that's problematic for the team, and you'll look at their responsibility for disregarding protocols. But then if there's also just reasonable people in that situation, reasonable health professionals, because all of these teams have hired doctors. If a reasonable doctor would not have allowed a player to return to the ice, but the teams in this instance did, then there's also an issue of potential liability. So yeah, these teams can face liability for this.
Now, when you look at a standard player contract, I'm sure that there's some assumption of risk that comes along with being a professional hockey player. But do you have kind of an idea of as to what that might look like in a player contract in the National Hockey League?
You know, I honestly don't, but I would take into consideration specific players' needs and their own focus and injuries. So if someone has, like, you know, Jack Eichel, he had that neck injury. And remember, that was one of the biggest issues with his stay with Buffalo, is because they wanted him to do a certain procedure and he insisted on doing a different one. And so ultimately, the player should be allowed to decide their health and how it proceeds. And so that might be a policy that a player pushes for their contract, is that they want the ability to get medical treatment or procedures on their own decisions as opposed to the team's.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of a direction that needs to be breached, or at the very least discussed when it comes to the next collective bargaining agreement, because Jack Eichel having the conviction to know his body, to understand his body, and to do what he felt was best for him and not what the team wanted him to do in that spot has certainly paid dividends for him and also for the Vegas Golden Knights. Players should have that right to kind of sign off as the final say on what is happening to their bodies.
100%. And I'm optimistic and hopeful that Jack Eichel, going through that situation and taking that stand for his own health and well-being, has given other players around the league the similar confidence to realize that, look, that my body is, and my health and well-being and longevity is up to me at the end of the day. And so if the team's pushing me to do one set of treatment, but I believe in another one, I'm confident in pursuing my own decisions.
Yeah, that's excellent stuff. It's such a deep topic and one that, you know, as Golden Knights fans can attest to, injuries have been a big part of the story this season. But right now in the postseason, it's certainly turning a corner. Ash, if anyone out there is listening to this and they need to get in touch with you, they have a question, maybe they're in a crash, something like that, how can they get a hold of you?
24/7, you can call our office, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com. And then, like I said on last week's show, sometimes, you know, now in playoff season, just find me in T-Mobile during those home games. I'll be there. But
right,
hey, Ryan,
stuff.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Ask you, who on the Western Conference bracket are you most concerned about, and who on the Eastern conference bracket are you most concerned about?
Okay, so on the, in the West, I think I'd be lying if I didn't say Edmonton, just simply because of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. I still think that they could lose in the first round, but the fact of the matter is when you've got those two players, and if you see them as a Golden Knight fan, it's going to be in the Western Conference Final, it would stand to reason that they're playing really, really well. So I would say Edmonton would be that team in the West. In the East, it's a little bit of a different story for me. I think the Rangers are legitimate. I really do. Goaltending's fantastic. Okay. And then probably the Florida Panthers. Like, Florida's a really good team, really deep. Those would probably be the two teams above any other that I look at, and that those two teams scare me.
All right. Well, now I know. But I was with you on Edmonton. I haven't really even looked to the Eastern Conference, so I'm focused on the West. And first and foremost, we got to get through round one.
Absolutely. And the Golden Knights just two wins from doing that. Ash, as always, thanks so much for joining us here on The Legal Minute. It is The Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show is next.
This has been The Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right.